Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. And Tonight, man, we are dealing with the dead, and where are they? Man, this is not what you call a popular topic. You know, a lot of us want to hear a lot of the inspirational stuff and things that, you know, that feel good thing and all of that, you know. But sometimes, man, you got to get to the nuts and bolts, man. You got to get to the real cause and effect of why this is in the creation, why we are dealing with death and the resurrection. Actually, we ain't even dealing with the resurrection of death. The dead, where are they? You know, I'm like, I get ahead of myself sometimes. Sometimes I get ahead of myself and I start thinking of, you know, like the beginning, the end from the beginning, but there isn't a resurrection if the dead don't die. So what happens? What happened when you die? That's the question. You know, we got a whole lot of folklores, man. I mean, I even hear some of these so-called conscious Hebrew Israelites talk about they going to heaven. You know, I'm like, you kidding me? You know, I know you ain't saying this. You read your Bible. You read your Bible. You read your Bible. And you telling me you go to heaven. You know, you're going to go to heaven. You know, and stuff like that. And then we got those so-called, we want to call them Sunday Christians, you know. And that's a title. I get it. It's a title. And a lot of us don't like to be labeled, but it is, you're a Sunday Christian. And most people that go to church on Sunday believe they're going to go to heaven. Or when you die, your soul leaves the body, your body go back to the dirt, and your spirit go into heaven. What do the Word of God say? What do the Word of God say? What do the Word of God say about what happens when you die? You see, so this is that thing. The other thing is that it's really a really, really sensitive conversation. What do you mean? Because during this COVID madness, and I'm going to call it madness, man, because people have lost control of their faculties. You know, everything is now, you know, a conspiracy, so to say, you know. COVID was put out here to kill the people and things like that. Okay, well, it wouldn't be on the planet if God didn't allow it to be. And he's still in charge. So if your clock is punched, he allowed it to be punched. You know, I'm not saying that to be facetious. I'm saying that as a truth. Nothing is done without his acknowledgement. The other thing is that so many of us are so wrapped up in, you know, this notion that, well, you know, why we got to deal with things like that? That's depressing. Should we be dealing with things that's you know, that's aspirational? And it, look, man, you got millions of cats that's on that, you know, that you can turn that on. Everybody is on some type of inspirational, trying to get everybody feeling better and this, that, and the other. That's all good. But that don't necessarily make it the truth, and that don't necessarily make that the end-all, be-all. We need to know all the things that belong to God, all the things that he's given us, you know, and the things that's relevant and right into our sight and our being, you see. So this is that thing, you know. So let's get into this. Let's get into this precept. You ready? Huh? Are you ready? Oh, okay, cool. So, brothers and sisters, if I can ask my brothers and sisters, please, brothers, I'll cover your heads, and sisters, cover your head as we approach the Father. Oh, and let's stand and face Jerusalem.
Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I have read Psalm 72, verses 1 through 5. In Jesus' holy, mighty name we pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them to hear us and give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Praise be the Lord. Praise be the Lord. It's so good to be back. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Well, let's get this started. Let's start this in St. John chapter 3 and verse 13. St. John chapter 3 and verse 13. So what we like to do is first dispel the myth. Okay, part of the myth is in this world that when you die, you go to heaven and you're going to be with God, right? So right now, what we want to do is go right to the source. Let's go right where Jesus told us, right? Go to St. John 13 and 12. St. John 13 and 12, when you receive it, read.
St. John chapter 13 and verse 12 reads, "So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and was set down again."
Forgive me. St. John 3 and 12. St. John 3 and 12. Forgive me.
St. John chapter 3 and verse 12 reads, "And if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven."
Stop. So this is the thing. No man has ascended up to heaven. That's an absolute statement. No man has ascended up to heaven. So Jesus is telling us right here, if we never read a verse in the Old Testament and all we ever read was the New Testament, look, if all we ever read is just the Gospels, then we should not be believing that a man is going to heaven. Just on this verse alone, because we would believe that Jesus Christ is the truth. So, and there's no lying in him. So if he said no man has ascended up to heaven, that's an absolute statement. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What do you mean? Because that's where he is now. And that's the third heaven. We ain't talking about where the stars and the moons and all the galaxies and all the, you know, and all the milky, all the different, you know, cosmos and planets. And no, he's past all of that. He's above all of that. There isn't enough lifetimes to even get there. Right? It's not even a lifetime to even get there. It's like Ray and I was trying to get her to watch this episode of The Next Generation with me. And I was trying to, you know, tell her that it's this episode that these cats actually was trying to go to heaven and meet God. And they call it the ninth dimension, is it? Or the ninth level. You know, and nine means eternity, you know, on every level. Nine means eternity. Nine is everlasting. That's the last thing in numeral systems. And after nine is zero. You go back to one. So nine is everlasting. That's when you get there. Eight is the circumcision of the flesh. Nine is everlasting. That's what immortality is always. So they call this particular episode the ninth level. So this guy named Berkeley, which happened to be an engineer, ended up getting tapped by some alien form that blew his mind. And so he built a ship where it can meet an intelligence in the middle of the cosmos, which happened to be, what, 1,000 light years? Was it? No, it was 30,000 light years, and the light years itself.
Six trillion miles,
right? So, from where they were to meet whatever this being was, they had to travel 30 trillion light years, 30 trillion miles to get there. And they still wasn't in the third heaven. They were still in the cosmos, wasn't they? You see? So this is that thing. But what they found themselves in the center of the universe, they said, man, this is the center of the universe. Let me reiterate this. 35 trillion light years, there isn't enough lifetimes to even make that trip. So there's no way we ever going to ascend into heaven. You know, even by their gauges, we wouldn't ascend into heaven. Now, that's a guesstimation. That's a what you call a fictional storyline that's based on truth. You know, that, yeah, you got to deal with light years in order to move through the heavens. But they are saying that the center of the universe is 35 trillion light years away. There isn't enough. We don't even have 30,000. We're just 6,000 years in a game. So we wouldn't even see it. You know, even if we had a spaceship, we wouldn't even be able to see it. You see? This is that thing. So no man has ascended up there. You could build all the shuttles. You could build all the rockets. You could build all the satellites you want to build, all those things, and you'll never get to heaven. It'll never happen. It's just too big, too vast, and the earth is just a little ball in the middle of all of it. Go figure. Somebody asked me, do I think it's other life forms in the universe, or in the cosmos, I should say, because the universe is where we live, you know. What in our domain, we call that the universe, like the United States of America. Well, that would be our universe. That would be considered a universe. And the Milky Way would be where we live, like St. Paul, Minnesota, or Chicago, right? That would be your address. The Milky Way is your address. So outside of the universe that we live in, you have other universes and other cosmos, billions of them, you see? And that's a billions of them. So the heavens is vast. The thing is, no man has the intelligence. That's why he had to end up with a super brain. He had to end up with the mind of God, which was amazing how they did it, because he said, I can't even be unplugged, because all the information in my head now, if I download it into my brain without being upon this machine, I just die. So our body isn't capable of handling the information that God has for us right now. We have to be changed. We have to be turned into him, you see, in order just for the information to coexist with us, you know. And that's the information of every solar system, every planet, every molecule, every particle, every air, every water, every breath, everything. Our minds, we have to be changed, because this body is just burst because of information. Mm-hmm. Let's go to 1 Timothy. We're going to read another. This is Paul, right? Paul saying the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look what he said. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 13, when you receive the read.
1 Timothy 16 reads, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only Pontius, the King of kings, and Lord of lords, who only have immortality.
Whoa. That kills Enoch. Only is an absolute statement. So Enoch is walking around on the planet, meaning that he has immortality. That means he's been alive since Adam days. Enoch knew Adam. So if Enoch is still walking around, that means he has immortality. Some people were going to say, no, the scripture is saying that he was translated, but he don't have no immortality. Well, he ain't dead. So if he's not dead after 6,000 years, then what is that? When the law is that he told Adam, the day you sin, that's the day you're going to die. And a day with God is 1,000 years, and Adam lived only 930. So he didn't live a complete day with God. Methuselah came to 965. He didn't live a whole day with God. So what is Enoch jumping outside of that? How Enoch is going to break this law when death has passed upon all men? You see, death has passed upon all men. So Enoch is not walking around on the planet. Enoch is asleep. We're going to read that. What is this thing? What's going on? What do you mean? Read on.
Amen. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16 again read, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
So he the only one that seen immortality. You see, the only one that has it. And everybody else is waiting on it. That the Lord referred to as saints. And then there's us also that have come up in the second resurrection will receive immortality. Immortality, man will live forever, but you got to come out that ground and you're going to have a different body. You see, this is that thing. So this body got to be changed, you see? So this is that thing. Let's go into Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and 12. When you receive and read.
Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 reads, wherefore as by one man sin entereth into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Stop. How absolute is death passing upon all men? So that wipes out Enoch walking around because he's a man. Death passed upon all men. Unless Enoch ain't a man, he died. You see, we can't break this scripture. Read on.
Amen. Romans 5 and 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law.
See, we want to always say, well, by one man, sin entered into the world. Well, we want to blame Adam for that. Sin entered into the world, and so did death. Then how did it skip Enoch? So that means that sin has to skip somebody. And that's just not true. Sin don't skip nobody. Sin, we all was born in sin. Even Jesus said there's none good but the Father. Why you calling me good? Jesus was tempted on all points. He said he was tempted on all points. Other words, he had to overcome his own sin. Whatever he has to overcome, he has to overcome it. Continue.
Amen. 14, that's Romans 5 and 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Stop. Is Enoch in between Adam and Moses? So death is death. So if death is between Adam and Moses, then Enoch is asleep. Enoch is so dead. I'm not saying that like, ha-ha, you know, I'm saying my man is asleep. Stop having him walk. He's not a ghost. He's not a spirit. He's not an immortal. Jesus is an immortal. He's not an immortal. He is a man. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death ruled from Adam to Moses. It didn't miss a beat. Death has not been defeated. Ask Jesus. Death has not been defeated. Ask Jesus. Right? Even Jesus died, didn't he?
Yeah.
So how is it that Enoch is walking around? Once again, he's asleep. This is why we got to, you know, like I said, like I, you know, my like my Sunday Christian people, look, nobody's in heaven, nobody's in hell. There's a judgment, there's a resurrection. And to my conscious brothers and sisters and those that are conscious Hebrew Israelites, so to say, look, Enoch is asleep. Stop that. He's so asleep. This scripture is broken. And I'm so tired of people telling me this is a misprint. That's a misprint. This is a misprint because of a lack of understanding. If this Bible is that big of a misprint, why are you dealing with it? I wouldn't deal with nothing like that. If I read this book and I found it to have all these errors, ain't no way in the world I'm testifying of it. None. But we got these yahoos and these Johnny come latelys. They will sit up here and tell you that the Bible is a misprint and still teach from it. So you're telling me you'll willfully teach a lie. You'll willfully teach a lie. Because of a lack of understanding. So I'm sick and tired of people telling me this is a misprint. Well, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover isn't the first day of unleavened bread in the New Testament because that's a misprint. Or the Apocrypha is a misprint. Or the name of Jesus is a misprint. His name is Yahuwah, Yahweh, Elohim, or whatever the hell they come up with. Look, the book isn't a misprint. That's called lack of understanding. Keep calling the Bible a lie and find yourself written out of it. This is the book of life. Now you're telling me the book of life, this book got lies in it, especially when it comes to the resurrection, especially when it comes to the name of God, especially when it comes to his feast days. Now there are misprints. And these conversations is coming from so-called conscious brothers and sisters. What we have is ignorance toward the truth. Or we want to put God in our box, or we want to justify our lies. Or we want to add things to the book that appeals to us versus what's the truth of God. Ain't no way in the world he's going to tell me Jesus' name is anything other than Jesus. He's going to tell me his name when he gets back. Until then, this book is sealed at the last verse. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 22, he sealed it in the name of Jesus. If you got a problem with the name of Jesus, go open this book up. You got a problem with the Passover being the first day of unleavened bread, don't open this book up. You got a problem with Enoch being alive and the book saying he's dead, don't open this book up. Ain't nothing in here is misprint. You have a lack of understanding. Enoch is asleep. Death passed from Moses to, from Adam to Moses. 14 again, please.
Amen. Romans 5 and 14 reads, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Skip down to verse 17.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one.
Oh, we want to definitely, we could claim that on Adam, you know, because we want to, you know, hey, Adam sinned. Yeah, he sinned. That's all we hear. I'm so tired of people saying that. Adam this, Adam sin, he ate from the tree. Like, Adam, that's all he did. That's all he was to you is the reason why death is in the world. You sound like these children that say, well, my parent is this, or my father wasn't this, or my mother wasn't that, and it's because of them I'm going through this, or because of them I got this dope problem, or I got this problem, or this, that, and the other. Oh, man, you better stop that. Knock that off. We're going to blame Adam because we don't want to do the right things. We're going to use his shortcoming to justify ours instead of trying to be a better Adam. Read on. Read that 17 again.
Romans 5 and 17 reads, For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, once again, if you got a problem with the name of Jesus, get out this book. Go find you one of them copywritten books that say Yahshua or Yahweh and all that madness. Get out this King James. You got a problem with the Apocrypha? Put it down. Because the 1611 is the reason why you had an 1881. I can say that because I got proof. I don't go with my emotional feelings. I can read historical, and they'll talk about misprints. Like, well, the Apocrypha is full of misprints, but then, you know, the New Testament, when he said that the Passover is the first day of unleavened bread, see, that's a misprint. Wait a minute, the Apocrypha is a misprint. The Passover being the first day of unleavened bread is a misprint. And the name of Jesus, the people, is a misprint. What are y'all doing teaching the Word of God? I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. I'm that kind of man. I don't mess around with people that ain't true to themselves. Hell, I got to deal with my own truth. Well, I'm going to deal with somebody that's pretentious and phony, superficial servants, want to justify everything that they're doing, changing the Word of God to fit their own image, creating a new idolatry while condemning another one. Go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews 11.
And verse 1.
And then Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
Continue.
Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Stop. This is what people start saying. See, Enoch didn't die. He was translated. Okay. I think y'all need to finish reading this. Let's finish reading this. Continue. Now read the 5 again.
Hebrews 11 and 5. Hebrews 11 and 5 reads, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death.
So we're talking about Enoch, right? And we talked about Abel, right? Okay, so Abel is dead, right? Enoch was translated, so he didn't die, right? According to our doctrine. Not the scriptures. We don't let the scripture testify of itself, but according to our doctrine and the lost books, because the lost books say Enoch is still walking around, right? Okay, read on. Not the Apocrypha, the lost books. Read on.
Amen. Hebrews 11 and 5 reads, by faith Enoch was translated that he found that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
So Noah, did he die? The scripture said he died, right? Okay, continue.
Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, which Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
So we got Abraham now, who died. We can read that. Isaac, who died. We can read that. And Jacob, who died. We can read that. Read on.
Verse 10. For he looked for a city.
But Enoch is translated.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
New Jerusalem. So they got the same promise we got. So they knew about New Jerusalem. So don't act like they did it. The scripture just said they knew about New Jerusalem. Why wouldn't they know about New Jerusalem? Why would you serve God and not know that that's coming? Read on.
Verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age.
Stop. Is Sarah dead? The scripture says she died, right? So far, everybody here died and stuff for Enoch, right? Okay, read on.
Hebrews 11 and 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sun, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises.
Stop. They what?
These all died.
Stop. They what?
Died.
Who?
In faith.
Who died?
These all died.
All of them did, didn't it? Was Enoch in that?
Yes.
Enoch was named after Abel, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay, he said, these all died. Have not received a promise. So they haven't gotten a body yet, right? The promise is immortality, isn't it? Right? They haven't received a promise. So these all died. So the question is, where are they? Are they in heaven with God? Are they flying around with wings on a cloud? With a ukulele? With wings and a diaper? Singing with the angels? Oh, no. They got on white choir garments, right? White robes. Not linen. They got on choir robes, singing unto God in heaven. Is that what they just said? He said, these all died. Every last one of them. Well, I can read that. But when it comes to Enoch, oh, he was translated. He didn't die. The book just said he did. Has not received a promise. So when the book, when Paul said in Timothy, who only had immortality, he's right. They haven't received a promise. The promise is what? Immortality. Read that again.
And in Hebrews 11 and verse 13 reads, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Now, skip down to verse 39 and continue.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 reads, and these all, having obtained a good report.
Stop. Enoch had a great report, didn't he? He pleased God. And so much God said, I'm going to translate you, right? I'm going to take you, right? But our interpretation is taking is that he's supposed to get immortality. But that would be inconsistent with what we just read because the book just said they all died. So what do we mean by this? So Enoch got a great report. Jacob, Abraham, Abel got a great report, right? Sarah got a great report, right? And then if you would have kept reading, you would have saw Moses and Samson and all them, right? So that lets me know Samson is going to be in the first resurrection, right? Continue.
Hebrews 11.
People act like you ain't going to get in the kingdom because you kicking it with a foreign woman or something like that. You better get that right. Samson is getting into the kingdom. I don't care how many Philistine women he married. You got some of these Jakes talking about, well, you know, you got to stay with, look, the Lord said don't marry certain Canaanites and the Moabites. That's it. Stay away from them. All the rest of them, read on.
Hebrews 11 and verse 39 reads, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Did Moses marry a foreigner? He married two foreigners. The first one was a Midianite, not an Israelite, not a Levite. She was a Midianite. And the second one was an Ethiopian. Tell me Moses ain't getting into the kingdom. I wish he would. All because of your understanding. All because of what we've been taught. So these brothers, is, you got you a wife that's not of the same tribe. Don't mean y'all not saved. Y'all better keep on building up to God. Can you read it?
Hebrews 11 and 40 reads, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
So how is it Enoch with that? That means he made perfect. But the book said, they without us should not be made what? Perfect. They haven't what? Received the what? Promise. What promise? Immortality. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. So the question is, if they haven't received, now, see, we got to deal with what's out here. And that people, you know, we deal with all these dogmas that's out here. You know, Enoch walking around. Your father, your mother is in heaven. You know, we deal with all these dogmas. And the word of God, from what we're reading, has shut all that down. Not me. The scriptures testified against you. Right? So if they haven't received a promise, how they flying around in heaven? How can they be flying around in heaven when the book even testified against that? Like, Joe, what am I saying? Right? But I know what I'm saying. I'm just saying. Because, well, it needs to be said. 1 Corinthians 15. Mm-hmm. What is this promise that they haven't received, right? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. We receive a read.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35 reads, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?
That's the question. How are the dead raised up, right? Because we just read all these died in faith, right? If they all died in faith but haven't received a promise, so the next question is, then how are they going to wake up? Right? That would be the next question. Right? Read on.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 36 reads, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not thy... That
so you're a fool. He called you a fool. He called you a fool for even thinking like that. I didn't. Paul did. Paul said you're a fool for thinking that Enoch is walking around in this earth. Fool for thinking that your mother and father is in heaven with God. You're a fool for thinking that. That the judgment has taken place soon as you die. Or else, what's the point of them waiting? Continue.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. And do we want to do 38?
30, yeah, read 38 again.
But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him.
Stop. That's the problem? He gonna give us a body like his? Remember now, how you gonna be able to conceive 30 trillion light years of information unless you get a body like this? How are we going to conceive 30 trillion light years unless we get a body like this? I don't know if you remember this. You watched me today.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened to her at the end?
She had 100% of her cerebral.
She had 100% of her cerebral, right? And what else? What happened in the end?
Went into all things. She said, I am that I am. I'm everywhere.
The body couldn't no longer contain it, could it? You got to be changed. You got to be changed in order to receive all this information God has for us. This body, this flesh and blood thing can't handle all of that information. You're talking about information from trillions of years. Trillions. The sun and the moon is a known fact from our crude instruments, you know, 4.5 billion years old. The earth can be, or the, you know, or the sun and whatever. Right. Okay. But then we got light years that's 30 trillion light years away. Trillion, when I last checked, trillion is a little bit more than billion. Right? Okay. The only way we'll be able to retain the information that he's going to give us in the first resurrection is that we must be changed, or else our bodies would disintegrate completely. Or we just burst. Our head burst like scat. It just burst. Or we just, it is overload and just black. You just die. Just go to dark. Too much light. Then light will become dark. And your dark will be light. Go figure, right? In the beginning was the... Read, skip down. Read that again. Read that 38 again.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 38 reads, "But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial."
Stop. That's what we're trying to get, the celestial body, because that's the promise. The promise is you're going to get a celestial body and that you'll never die. Right? Read on.
40. "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is only one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star."
Not only are we going to get this new body, but we're going to shine different. When you look up in the heavens, the stars are different colors. Those of us that have telescopes, those of us that have been to the planetarium, those of us that have been to planetarium or sky watching events and stuff like that, you know, when the heavens is really close to the earth and stuff like that, and it's a clear night. Those of us that actually went out to events like that to see what the solar system looked like, our solar system looked like. We found out that we got different color stars, colors that don't even exist in this earth. Not only there are colors that don't exist in this earth, there are colors that the eye just can't see. Those colors, too, also would exist in that time window that man would change into. But wait a minute. they haven't received a promise, right? Okay, let's look at that. Skip down to verse 51.
So 1 Corinthians 15:51?
15 to 50.
Okay, 15 and 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 reads, "Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption."
See, that body got to be changed. His body can't inherit that information. Read on.
51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed."
Continue.
"In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed."
Continue.
"For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality."
That's the promise. We don't put on what?
Immortality.
But right now, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, Jesus, say this with me, Jesus, they say it in slow motion, Jesus is the only one that has immortality. The only one. They without us will not be what? Changed. They without us have not received the promise. That includes Abel. That was Abel. Let's call him in order. Abel, Enoch, Abraham, right? Sarah, right? And none of them received it. They all waiting. So how is it that Enoch jumps outside of this here grand scheme of things and he gets it? That's inconsistent. That's not consistent with doctrine from the Word of God, sound doctrine from the Word of God, so to say. But if I want to teach my passion, if I want to teach my dogma, if I want to teach my doctrine, Enoch is out here walking around. Jesus' name is Yahshua. The Father's name is Yahweh. My parents is flying around in heaven. And the wicked, Jeffrey Dahmer, is in the lake of fire burning forever. If I taught my own passion. But I can't do that, can I? And I stand in this book. I got to change things. I got to reword it. So I got to say things a little differently so I can sneak in lies. I got to sneak. So if I reword this here, then I can sneak this lie in. If I reword this here, then I can sneak this lie in. That's what we do. Is that what we're doing? So-called students and teachers of the Word of God. We're going to be teaching our passion and our dogma. We're no different than the Catholic Church or any other Sunday Christian yahoos out here. We just Hebrew Israelite Sunday. No, you're not an Israelite. You're just a Hebrew Sunday Christian. Israelites are lit. Israelites are lit. They won't be teaching that madness. Israelites are lit. Everybody is in Israel. Even though we all Israel and some claim they're Israel, they not. They're just regular Sunday Christian mugs wearing a Hebrew name.
That's all.
Job. What they got to do with anything? I know. What that got to do with anything? What that has to do with death? What that has to do with what happens when you die? So where's the dead? That's the next question, right? That's the next question. So let's go look at that. Let's go into Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all want to be, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And this is something that we have to start to consider here. Ecclesiastes 3 and 18. And read.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18 reads, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
And that's the problem. We got all this super-duper pride, you know, super-servant, super-Christian, super-servant, super. You know, super holy rollers. You know, I'm this, I'm that. I'm saved, sanctified. Don't you speak evil on me. No, we can't see ourselves because we're too big in our heads. Only if God would let you know, he ain't, you know, he just teaches us just a little more than the beast of the field. And when I last checked, some of the organs that a pig have can fit in me. Go figure. Go figure. So I guess he didn't lie. Solomon knew. I know he wasn't dealing with organs at this time. He was, you know, they weren't putting pig organs in men in the days of Solomon. Ain't no way in the world a Hebrew Israelite would be walking around with a pig's organ. But nowadays, they will. Why? Because the law said that we might see ourselves as the beast of the field. Not this high-minded old nonsense that I be looking at these superstitions. Nothing makes me more irritated than looking at these super Christian people. Grandeur and, you know, sensationalism. You know, you got these dudes that, you know, need to be speaking in tongues and all that to get their point across, to bewitch people. And then you got these females with all this makeup and nails and hair. No coverings. None of that. Just talking out the side of their necks. And in the name of the Lord. Because they got one or two good things to say, oh, I take that. Well, hell, you might as well look at the news and get that. Because that's what you just got. It ain't going to get you across the street. The rest of that madness, you just wasted your time. You want a feel-good story? Look at the news. A fireman saved a cat out of a tree. There you go. You want a feel-good story? They just saved a dog from ice. They was stuck in ice, and they saved him. That's a feel-good story. But you got these yahoos sitting in cars. All of a sudden, they ministers of the Lord, speaking against things that don't belong to them. Women speaking against the order of husbands, because they want to be a man with a wig on. And then you got these dudes speaking against the word of God, you know, because they want to be big eyes. Hey, man, look, you ain't supposed to be wearing fringes, but your woman's skirt is up her skirt is all the way up her her shirt is down her But you look ahead at his fringes, and everybody else is looking at your wife. And then the same dude, wait a minute, the same dude is telling you he ain't supposed to be wearing fringes, got tattoos all over his body. And then you got these other yahoos that want to be playing games in the Lord. I'm speaking in tongues. You are. I agree. I've seen where they come from. Paul said it once, and you can't get around it. I'd rather speak 5 words with my own understanding that the whole church be edified than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And I ain't even talking about the mumble jumble you be getting in these Sunday 21st century slave camps. And that's the truth. So, where is this man when he died? Now that we dispelled all that foolishness, where is he? That's the next question. Read on.
Amen. Ecclesiastes.
We was in the middle. Ecclesiastes 3 and 18.
Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 18 reads, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them and that they might have that they themselves are beasts. And that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
Continue.
For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again.
So, death passed from men. It didn't say from animals. It said death passed upon all men. The animals wasn't created in our image. So the animals have immortality in the beginning. You can't say that because the scriptures don't testify that. It only testifies us having it. So if a bird or a parakeet or a mosquito or a fly drop dead, then it would be nothing for Adam to pick it up and say, oh, live. Or Eve to pick up a canary or a bird or a frog or a squirrel or a monkey or even a cow or a rhinoceros and say, live. Because they had the power of healing. We act like the power of healing came with Jesus. When I last checked, Elijah was doing that. He was waking up the dead. He was healing people. When I last checked, Moses was healing people. So all of a sudden, we act like that started in the New Testament. And if it started, and if we can read it in the Old Testament, you better know that Adam did it first. If Adam didn't do it, we not doing it.
And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own work, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?
Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. In verse 1. Ecclesiastes 9 and 1. And Solomon is going to pick this conversation back up again.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1 reads, for all this I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and one to the wicked.
So this is one event, right? Everybody goes through this, right? Okay, go ahead.
To the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not, as is the good, so is the sinner. And that and he that sweareth as he let me read that again. And he that sweareth as he that sweareth an oath. Three. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun.
This is an evil among all things.
That there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the den.
Look, madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they do what?
Go to the den.
But what am I missing here? What am I missing here? Was Enoch righteous? Was Abraham righteous? Was Jacob righteous? But then the book said there's one event unto the righteous and the wicked, and that they all go to the grave, right? Okay. They all go to the dead. Now that's the question. Because what we just got to dealing with is that, well, the dead isn't in heaven. The dead isn't walking around on this earth. So what are the dead? Because the book just said they go to the dead. And if I'm listening at this so-called Hebrew, and I'm not even going to call him an Israelite, but this so-called Hebrew telling me that Enoch is on the planet, when the book said that they all go to the dead. Now, wait a minute. I'm reading Hebrews, right? And now I'm reading Solomon, which is the wisest man that ever lived, said, this is an event. All things come alike to all. That would include Enoch. How we missed that memo? All is an absolute statement. Continue.
Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 3 reads, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion.
Did he just tell us that there is no difference between the man and the beast? Continue.
Verse 5. For the living know that they shall live. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything.
Stop. So, if all these died in faith, then how is it that Enoch have consciousness when the word of God say that they don't have consciousness? And I got some brothers even say Enoch and Moses, right, out of two olive branches in Revelation chapter 11. Really? Wait a minute. The God of Israel, which is all-powerful, omnipotent, right? The Almighty can't bring up two brothers in this generation to stand up like Moses and Enoch without going to dig them two dudes up. So to justify Enoch is still alive, he got to be one of the two olive branches now. Is that where we at? This is why I say it's a difference between doctrine and dogma. I ain't here to perpetuate nobody's dogma. One thing the Lord showed me about when I started reading for myself and I realized I had to save myself and my family, that I had to drop people's dogmas. I had to drop their idea of what they thought the Word of God was because it wasn't consistent. And I ain't here to get brownie points with dudes or women or anybody like that. It really, that don't matter to me. In fact, and it's really twisted way of myself, and I'm not going to say it. You know, and I can say it, you know. And this little sense of me, this part of me, is like, I really like that. Oh, okay. So you think you're right. Even though these scriptures are saying, no, you're wrong, you think you're right. A certain part of me in me just really kind of like that. I don't know why. Maybe it's my flesh. Maybe it's a part of me that's what pride is. I don't know. But I get a kick out of looking at super brains and then look at them and they tell me things like this after they profess themselves as all-knowing. You wouldn't know nothing if I hadn't taught you. They the all-knowing and all-being and the almighty. Like some of us that have no knowledge of paganism before we came into some of these churches or camps. Or some of us didn't know who the God of Israel was before we came into some of these churches or camps. Well, I done heard the arrogance of man sit up there and say, you wouldn't know nothing if I hadn't taught you. That's what I heard. I heard that with my own ears. I didn't agree with it because I thought my mom was a super brain when it came to the word. Even though she may not have been a super, in some people's eyes, a super servant, but she definitely knew God. And she taught me enough to stay away from this idolatry.
Amen.
Now the mysteries of God and things like that, they went to sleep with her. This is that thing. Let's look at this a little further. Continue. For the living know that they shall die, right? Read that again.
Amen. Ecclesiastes 9 and 5 reads, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten.
So, the memory of them is forgotten, not the memory of them like, you know, what we think of them. You know, like my sister just passed, well, I ain't forgot about her, but what she think of me is gone. Her memory is gone of me. It's forgotten. Read on.
Verse 6. Also their love.
So if she loved me, it's gone. If she loved my mother, it's gone. She loved my dad, my sister, her children. It's gone. Read on.
Also their love and their hatred and their enemies.
So my enemies that died or so forth. I don't have to worry about them ever doing anything else to me again. And I don't have to worry about them if you're hunting me. None of that. It's over. The memory of them is forgotten. They have no thoughts in this life. Their thought pattern stopped. There's no more building thoughts. There's no continuing of thought. Now, if you want to play with a necromancer, then you start crossing barriers that you ain't got no business. That'll get you in the ground. But they have no more knowledge. If you don't disturb them, they just as good as sleep. Continue.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun.
They can't do anything in this life. Even if you use a necromancer to go and conjure up their spirit, they will never come back to this realm physically. Physically. But we're going to get into this part that they can come through. It's a barrier that they got a place that they can actually need to live in at. The dead. The dead can actually come back. But it's a place. They can't come back to this realm. But they can come back. That's why you have necromancers and wizards and sorcerers and witches. Because they deal with that necromancer. And the Lord tell you, don't do that. If it's a law against it, then it can be done. But they can't be randomly out here running around like the RPI squad, right? Going around catching escaped souls and stuff. Yeah, that ain't how it works. That's Christian dogma. That's Roman Catholicism dogma. That's wishful thinking that you will escape death. You know, they plant wishful thoughts in your head that once you die, there's a chance you might even escape, even if you're wicked. Yeah. That ain't the truth. And you still be in this realm. And he said, no. He said, now, he said, also their love and their hatred is now perished. And neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under this dominion. Does something? Skip down to 10.
Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where dost thou go.
So there's no knowledge. So they don't even know you are alive or dead. No wisdom, so they can't be down there doing math in a grave. Work, you know, how they got spirits and trying to get out of the grave and stuff like that. In the grave, whither thou goest. See that? It's like a wall. It's like an iron wall. Nobody can't pass by. It's like a jail. If you claustrophobic, this is claustrophobia on the 10th power, on a ninth level, so to say, to the ninth power. Ain't no getting past that. You can't get past it. The book called it The Gates of Hell. That's what we're going to deal with in the next precept. Because this is only part one to the dead, where are they? So now we see that they're not walking around. They don't have anything to do with anybody. In fact, Enoch and them are asleep. All them brothers and sisters are asleep. So, what are they? Well, we're going to get back to that tomorrow. We're going to continue in this precept. What are they? The dead, what are they? Part two, right? Amen. So, with that being said, if we have, let me see. How much time we have? Okay. Well, this is a good challenge. All right. Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like to thank you for your time, and we hope we edify someone. I want to thank Rev, for doing a wonderful job reading.
Amen.
And definitely keeping us encouraged and in tune and engaged in the word.
Amen.
So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope it edifies someone as we stay here at the Sounds of Living Waters. Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, radio show.